In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, June 4, 2024. Thank you for downloading. We have Darren Revell today from CollectMedia.com, his own company, about the collectible business in sports and entertainment and more. There's been a fascinating number of collectibles that have gone up for auction, some of which who have gone for an astounding amount of money, others that have been sold for like, that's it? Wow. And we'll talk to Darren about that. Plus, I think he knows enough about the stock market to comment on this GameStop story involving a person by the name of Roaring Kitty on Reddit, who is apparently about to become nearly a billionaire, depending on which way this stock goes today on his call options. It's way beyond my understanding, but it seems like Darren knows a bit more about it. So I'll talk to him about that. Meanwhile, we have a case of wide receiver inflation in the NFL and a lesson in the, you know what, I'd be more aggressive sooner than reactive and panicked later. The Minnesota Vikings have made Justin Jefferson the highest paid wide receiver in all of NFL football with a new deal that is $110 million guaranteed over 4 years. And the total number is bigger than that, but it doesn't really matter. It's all about the guarantee. So he's got a four-year guarantee that is approaching $30 million. I remember when the Vikings were like, Kirk Cousins is going to cost us $25 million a year. What the hell? And now some would say, well, I'd still rather have Justin Jefferson than Kirk Cousins. That's under the assumption that you hope J.J. McCarthy doesn't suck. The Vikings have squinted really, really hard, and they have said, I think McCarthy's the next Drew Brees. Can you see it? No, squint. He'll be the next guy. But because they're not going to let their rookie quarterback go out there and fend without his top weapon, they had to pay his top weapon, and the price continues to go up on these type of players. CeeDee Lamb is going to be next up at the wide receiver position, and he has more touchdowns, more receptions in the same number of years. Let's see, I'm looking at it right now. 395 catches to 392, 35 touchdowns to 31, almost the same amount of yards. and the same number of Pro Bowls. CeeDee Lamb is going to cost a fortune. And you know Jerry's going to pay it. Are these receivers worth it, though? And define worth it. I would guess that the top guys are, but man, college puts out new ones every single year. The Packers, by comparison, have at least four or five young guys that combined make less than Justin Jefferson 5-1 by a wide margin. And they produced last year with Jordan Love at the helm, and they will probably do the same this year as well. Can you just go back to the college well and replace your expensive wide receivers with cheap ones? If you get the right ones. See, the problem with this is that who was selected right in front of Justin Jefferson? Jalen Reagor. And Jalen Reagor turned out to be a total bust for Philadelphia. So it's a bit of a crapshoot, but hey, good for Justin Jefferson. He got his bag. Meanwhile, I want to alert people to something that could be happening to the morning show that I'm sure you listen to on 97.3thegame.com or 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. For my Milwaukee listeners who are listening to this podcast, you may listen over the air. We have a beautiful, booming FM signal at 97.3 free over your FM frequency modulated airwaves. But for those Zabe stans that like all my work, even when it is way too much Wisconsin sports for your liking, on the internet that listen on podcasts, this is your fault. What do you mean I didn't do anything? No, it's not your fault per se, but, and I think I talked about this on the air or on the podcast with Charge. If I did, indulge me, I need to repeat it here. The record industry and musicians have struck a deal with radio stations to be able to play their music, whether it's in a music format radio station like Hot FM in your local market, or just talk shows that use a, you know, published copyrighted piece of music, Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves, to come back from commercial break or to go out to commercial break. It's also, we use all kinds of songs that are perfect for our little bits and our themes and our games. And there's a deal in place with the record companies and the artists to license the music to radio stations. They have not, however, agreed upon licensing them for use in podcasts or recorded, rebroadcast, delivered via the internet to listeners. And now the rubber has met the road. The collision is finally here. Because the record companies and the artists are like, hey, handout, where's my cut of this? I wish that our radio company, iHeart, and I thank them every day for giving me a job and employment and benefits and everything else. I wish they would just say, okay, well, if this is the case, and if we can't come to an agreement on money, and of course they would like to pay zero monies for this additional, you know, revenue stream because they don't have the monies. They're struggling like everybody else. It'd be nice if they could just say, well, we're just going to have to get rid of podcasting. Or do something so that there is a seamless way to strip out of the podcast any and all music. So you would just hear, if you're listening on the pod, a very dry version of the voices of the talent alone. It would suck for the podcast, but hey, at least you'd have a podcast. Now, I don't know what kind of money they make on the podcast, how many ads they sell off of it, what promises they make to advertisers saying, look, if you buy airtime for our radio show, you'll also get X number of verified downloads on the podcast. I don't know, but it's got to be something. Otherwise, it'd be easy to throw that under the bus, right? But they're not. So now we are girding our loins as a show to have to remove any and all music other than generic production music to do the show. This is a disaster. This is something that is going to suck. Every little bit we do uses a piece of music selected explicitly for the purpose of the bit. whether it's got a thematic connection or it's a tune that bounces the right way for us, it's crucial to the baking of the cake that is the 3-hour daily show. So imagine if you're me as the chef being told, okay, you got to make the same delicious 3-hour cake that you normally do. Some days it's kind of dry, you know. Hey, shut your mouth. But you cannot use all the basic ingredients that you once used. Well, what do you mean by basic ingredients? Well, you can't use milk. You have to use water. Oh. And you can't use butter. You have to use, avocado oil. Pick something else. You can't use flour. You have to use ground up flaxseed. Ew. It's going to suck. And I don't know if, this is a temporary showdown like the teams would do with cable distributors like or channels like ESPN saying, okay, well, if we can't come to a deal, we're take us off your network. This could go on for months, beyond months. It could be permanent. So I may have to learn to cook with flaxseed oil, water, and avocados instead of the usual ingredients. And I ask anyone who is a listener, if and when this happens, to please, if you could, bear with me. Pray for me and bear with me. Tommy Pham is something else, isn't he? Tommy Pham got caught, gunned down at home on a shallow fly ball to left for the White Sox, who have lost a ton of games in a row. I forget how many, like 13, 14, 15, something like that, worst team in baseball. And after the game, didn't like it and said, this is why I do all this fighting in the offseason. I won't start nothing, but I'll finish it. That's why I train, to fuck people up. Here's what it sounded like on the call from the Chicago announcer side.
Here's the throw to the plate. And he's out. And Contreras is barking at him. Tommy Pham barking back. He's not backing down. He doesn't like that. And now home plate umpire Edwin Jimenez has to hold back Pham. Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
Yeah, but you are, actually. Jason Benetti, I believe, is the guy with the call there. And he kind of tends to do these type of calls. But, Tommy Pham, who I think once got into it with a teammate over a fantasy football league situation, had the following to say.
One-run ball game. Close play at the plate, and actually it wasn't even fucking close. It was a shallow fly ball to left field. You would expect the left fielder to throw the base runner out on that play, but the situation of the game, third base coach sends you, you gotta go. I'm nailed out at home by a mile. I'm going to the dugout, and I hear the tough guy with all the hoorah shit. I'll never start anything, but I'll be prepared to finish it. There's a reason why, I do all kinds of fighting in the off season, because I'm prepared to fuck somebody up. So you can take it as what it is.
And then he walks away. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Yeah. I don't know what kind of fighting he does, but in a baseball fight where there's literally 50 or more guys scrumming around on a field, I don't think any of your training's going to matter. There's going to be four dudes on you, grabbing you by your neck, taking your legs out, taking you to the ground. None of this training shit's going to matter. And I don't think William Contreras is going to fight you one-on-one in your preferred mixed martial arts discipline of your choice. Let's take a break. When we come back, Darren Revelle from collectmedia.com. If you would like to listen to this fine audio product, the Zabecast, without commercial interruption, then subscribe. Just go to zabe.com/premium and find out how you can not only listen ad-free, but also Get Fridays with Scott and Solly, the original OGs, from the Fox Sports Radio days as part of your weekly run of yours truly, the Zabe. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, joining us now, Darren Revell, formerly of CNBC, ESPN, Action Network, and now with his own company, Collect.com or CollectMedia.com. That's CLLCT.com. Did I get that right, Darren?
Yep, without the vowels. We leave the vowels off for trademarking purposes.
Interesting. So now that was actually going to be my first silly question, mm-hmm. which is interesting, but did you consider collect with the O and the E .com to begin with?
We wouldn't be able to get it.
Because somebody's squatting on it?
Yeah. It just wasn't, you know, we felt like that was available. It took about a month and a half. We originally wanted the name Provenance, which we thought was a really good name, but I then had to talk to a company that does marriage vows, and it was going to get tough. I mean, these are the things that you have to think of when I've started a bunch of companies, and these are the things that you have to think about.
Is this still a thing of people squatting on domains just to sell them in the future?
Domain, yeah. I mean, listen, I still had to, even CLLCT, I still had to buy. I think it was $9,000. So that's actually turned into a lucrative business. My friend bought nuts.com for $1 million. So
no, you know, way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And it paid off. Those guys are crushing.
Do you remember when they had the dot TVs? They're like, it's all going to be dot TV.
Yeah.
That's gone nowhere, right?
Nowhere. But yeah, no. We're 2 months in, and you know, I had gone obviously from sports business to a greater niche of sports gambling. And after 5 years, just felt like everyone's here now. And I have a very big collection, and I've always been into memorabilia and that kind of thing. And I thought it was ridiculous that there's this multi-billion dollar industry and no one covers it from a serious journalism side. And I think in the past 5 years, things have changed where there's enough to do every day. I mean, you know, today, Monday, we have, you know, 5 to 7 stories. So that, to me, it was the perfect time to get into it.
And you also have a huge collection yourself of items. Mm-hmm. You're an enthusiast as well as somebody who covers it. Does your website do any trading, any auctioning?
No, we're not going to be a marketplace of any sort. We
Why
might
not?
one day do, because I just I think if you're going to be journalists, you're going to be journalists.
Oh, okay.
And you know, for me, that's going to be the where the rubber meets the road. We have to make money. We'll have to have some sponsors, but we're also going to have to say, hey, by the way, you know, you sponsor us, but that doesn't mean that you've bought us to curry favor with, you know, that there's only positive stories, you know.
Right.
That's always the hardest part about journalism today. And I think if we had a marketplace, we'd try to be selling and pumping that, and it just wouldn't make sense. So I think that doing the journalism side is the best way for us.
Yeah. I would also think that with the auction houses that have been doing this for a long time, they have an expertise in their business that you guys would have to ramp up to. And there's probably
Yeah,
downside to
I
it as
do think
well.
there is. I do think there is a huge gap in that, you know, oftentimes, and I've taken advantage of this for myself for an arbitrage, you know, for standpoint, you know, where it's like sometimes they don't list, they don't tell the story right, you know, they list it in the wrong auction house. They, you know, it's not promoted enough, and we think we can at least help auction houses, you know, augment their stories and tell their stories better. But we're going to do it because we think there's a great story. We have a story on our site right now, which is this guy bought a photo of the famous Iwo Jima, the flag raising on Iwo Jima, and he liked it because it was signed by Joe Rosenthal, who was the AP photographer who took it. And it was on his desk for 2 years. Someone comes along and says, hey, I think that's a type one photo. And he didn't even think about what it is. A type one photo was taken from the original negative and published within 2 years of its taken, when it was taken. And that actually gives it a lot more value. So it sends it off to PSA, which grades cards and photos and whatever. It turns out it's the third type one of Iwo Jima ever.
Wow.
He bought
Okay.
it for $2,000 and sold on Saturday for $103,000, which broke the record for the highest price paid for a wartime photo.
That is amazing.
So, you know, these type of stories are just there. And you know, the Pat Tillman jersey this weekend sold for 136,000, which obliterated the record of a college jersey ever sold, which is, I think, Ernie, what's the running back from Syracuse, Ernie Davis.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
So I was,
55,000, and
yeah.
so obliterated.
I
Yeah.
saw that auction that you posted about the Pat Tillman Arizona State
Yep.
jersey, and I was stunned it was that low, relatively speaking. But you tell me it's the highest ever for a college jersey.
Yeah, college jersey, college doesn't do, like, even Bo Auburn jerseys have done 25, 30. It's a different animal. I believe there was a Barry Sanders Oklahoma State jersey that did 35,000, but
There's
football.
no
Now,
Newt
a Christian, like,
Rockne
you think Christian
jersey out
Leitner's,
there that
what'd you say?
is there a Newt Rockne jersey out there?
There was a Newt Rockne jacket that did really well. I think it was plucked out of a Goodwill. But there is, well, the Christian Leitner actual, the jersey from his actual, where he took the shot, I think sold for about 115,000. So this even beat that,
Wow, okay.
which is just wild. But that's what's so exciting about these markets.
I thought the mother of all jerseys recently went up for auction, which was Babe Ruth's called shot jersey,
Yep.
and it was several $1 million. Did that actually sell?
Did not sell yet. They're projecting it's 30 million, which would
30.
be, yeah, which would be the biggest sale ever, which, I mean, there's some things that are a little strange. I mean, the called shot, like, did it even really happen? I mean,
Right,
I don't
I've
know.
heard accounts that say, nah, he was just limbering up his
Pointing or, you know,
shoulder.
yeah, but listen, game worn right now is, you know, anything game worn that you can potentially photo match. I mean, even the Kobe Achilles jersey, when he, you know, went down for, there's nothing special about that particular game, but I guess it signified the Mamba mentality. And, you know, they're even disappointed that it went for 1.2 million, you
Right.
know? I
Well, I
mean,
guess
it's
it also
wild.
depends on how many known verified Babe Ruth
Yes.
jerseys are out there and exist in the
Yes.
world. Because if the number
Yes.
is three, versus 20, that's a big difference.
Right. And they, and back in the day, you know, these guys wore a road jersey and a home jersey all year. You know, it wasn't like the, wasn't like now where, you know, every NBA game, there's a spanking new jersey.
Right. They'll swap them out all the time. What about the Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world jersey? Does that exist? Has it ever been sold?
No, I think the ball might have been sold, but I don't think the jersey. I'm trying to think about the jersey, like, you know, it's interesting. What happened with the old jerseys, which is really crazy, in the 50s and 60s, they sent them down to the minors after a season. So Joe Pepitone is in AAA playing for the whatever it was, the Triplets, I think the Yankees farm system is. And he gets a jersey that they've taken off the number 7. Of course, there's not named, there's no names on the Yankees jerseys.
Right.
But by his left hand side, when he goes to tuck in the jersey, it says M Mantle, 1957, set 1.
Wow.
So these things were scrubbed. Like, literally, they took off the number, no matter who it was. They're like, oh, we could use this fabric. They took off the number and sent it down. And the only thing that you knew was, normally it was sewed on the bottom where they would tuck it in, whose it was, if it was in the majors.
Wow. Imagine, say, a Mantle 7 that was then worn by another future Hall of Famer in the Yankees farm system. That'd be worth a pretty penny right there.
Yeah, the problem is, once they took it off, so Pepitone actually saved the jersey. But unfortunately, they had taken the NY off and the number 7. So then, they realizing it, they tried to restore it and put the 7 and the Yankees back on. It sold for $430,000, but people don't really like that. It's from the 1957 MVP season. People don't really like that, right? It's like, it feels a little bit weird. Like, you put it back on. It's a little bit less than what it would have been.
Yeah, I hear you on that. What, think about this, and I'll answer first to give you a second to think about it. What jersey would you love to own as a sports fan? For me, I'm looking up at it right now as a Redskin fan growing up. I'd love to have the Super Bowl 17 jersey of John Riggins that poor Don McNeil for the Dolphins was grasping onto desperately on 4th and 1 that led to the breakaway touchdown that broke open the game. I've done radio with Riggo before. I don't think I've ever asked about the whereabouts of said jersey, but that'd be a cool one for me to own. What about
so
you?
I have two races that I'm a diehard fan of. One is Secretariat at the Belmont in 73. Right. So I'd love to have something Turcotte silks I hopefully have educated people on it, but it's the 1972 Olympics 800 meter medal race.
Ooh.
Dave Waddle in that race. I'll send it to you after if you haven't.
Yeah,
it's possible you haven't. But it's basically the greatest race of all time, given this, and it's 2 times around the track, right? And Waddle had been known to just march to his own pace. Like, can you imagine being able to do that when you're going for the gold medal and not paying attention to anything that's around you, okay? And so he is so far behind that the color announcer, Marty Licori, who was currently a runner, he knew everything. He goes, we're going to have to wait a couple more yards until we know if Dave is seriously injured. Okay, so this is a guy who knows what he's talking about. He's so far behind that he's out of the screen in the first lap, which is like, you're against elite athletes. How could it possibly be you would be out of the screen? How could you? And somehow he just he ran his second lap faster than the first, which you can't, no one does that, especially in the Olympics. And he timed it exactly right and won the gold. It's the craziest.
Oh my God.
So he wore a golf hat, which looked like he bought it out of like, he looked so out of place. He looks like he bought it out of the souvenir stand at the Olympia. Yeah, it's just a regular golf cap. By the way, he was criticized after when he won the gold. He forgot to take the cap off when they played the national anthem.
Oh,
but I want that. I want that cap. I want that cap.
That'd be amazing right there.
And I've sent, by the way, I've sent four. And I sent them to Dave in Tennessee to get them signed. He graciously signed them. And, you know, eventually I'm going to ask for where the hat is.
Yeah, it's good stuff. That's like the Mr. Freeze promotion at Atlanta, where he just like waits. He's like, I'm still going to run you down. But for an Olympic gold medal, which is pretty amazing.
Yes.
So there you go. Can you explain to me this GameStop thing with Roaring Kitty? It's cooking right now on a Monday where he may end up the day with nearly $750 million. I only loosely know about it. Explain it to me like I'm a 10-year-old.
So the stock market and the way it works, some people say it's rigged for, you know, the hedge funds and rich people to make money and politicians to get insider information and not go to jail and, you know, be able to invest. Roaring Kitty basically chose GameStop. This guy sitting in his, you know, basement with a headband who drinks beer and goes for runs basically said, you know what? I'm going to say, screw the system. I'm going to take a stock that is technically worthless and I'm going to get people to invest in it. Which again, Steve, I mean, the whole system is, you're investing in companies that are going to have good earnings, and those earnings are then going to give you a share of that company. And that's why we have faith in the stock market.
In theory, yes.
So he goes,
right. Now, GameStop as a company.
He's telling all these young people all these people who are buying Bitcoin blindly and whatever, let's run this thing up.
Right.
And they run up GameStop, and GameStop goes. And, you know, and there's a couple others, AMC and others, but they're basically called meme stocks. Meme stocks. Yeah, meme stocks, right?
Yeah.
And so the idea in doing this, it's F the establishment.
Right.
There's guys who shorted GameStop, right? Big time money.
Yeah.
Who shorted GameStop basically saying, we're gonna make money off how bad they are. And knowing that, they caused a couple people who were invested in this billions of dollars in losses just by saying, let's just invest in dirty carpets with junior mints crunched in them. You know, why don't we do that?
Right.
And they did it. And, you know, I say, you know, on Twitter this morning, I say that it showed it ruined the stock market, because if the SEC is not going to stop this, then what is the stock market? My critics would say, no, it exposed the stock market for what it is, which is a fraud just meant to make money for rich people. So now it comes out, he recently disclosed his position, which is, again, he's going to be a billionaire on this alone, at least in the moment, because he's invested in this.
Right.
And because he's told all these people, let's do this. But as someone who doesn't have much faith in Bitcoin, it's based so much on momentum.
Yeah.
It's tough for me to say like, hey, this is great for the establishment. You know?
Well, it's like,
it does make me want to pull my money from the market.
Oh, it's crazy. And me too. I look at it saying, what is actually underpinning this? But at the same time, there are legitimate companies that do need to raise money. And they rely on people buying stocks going, hey, this is a good idea. It's a company that could make money in the future. So I'm in. But then if you get enough people in their basements, kids in their basements on a joke, on a lark, on a Reddit thread going, let's invest in GameStop and AMC theaters – if there's enough of them, what's to stop them, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. That's right. Quick, Northwestern's football stadium, the temporary field that is going to be right there on Lake Michigan looks incredible. I know what a big, proud alum you are, even though the whole thing with Fitzgerald went sideways, and that's still not right. But where is this money coming from, and what is driving this? You guys are going to have the sickest football facility in the country.
Yeah, we already have the sickest practice facility. That thing's crazy.
Yes.
Right on Lake Michigan. And now you have a 2-year period of time where what are you going to do? And originally it was like, well, let's just go play in the NFL stadiums. But like, and people went nuts when they heard that we were going to have a quote unquote home game at Lambeau Field against Wisconsin. Yeah, okay. We graduate 6,000 people a year. They graduate like, 30,000. It wouldn't make any sense. So then they're like, okay, well, what should we do in a temporary fashion? The lacrosse team right on the water, the soccer team right on the water. And they got in touch with the waste management guys, which is basically Fitzgerald's idea. Let's basically build a temporary on the water. That's 15,000 seats, and it's going to be pretty much all North. I mean, it's going to be the most expensive ticket there is for playing a big time team. It's going to be interesting. Now, we are going to play at Wrigley against Ohio State, which is kind of like, I wish we played Ohio State there in November when it's 15 degrees and someone punts the ball and it goes out into Lake Michigan. Hey, can someone get that ball for us? That ball for us.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a wild.
And the actual,
and I'll be there.
Yeah, very good. And the actual, they're redoing Dyke Stadium, right? So they're not moving the stadium; they're just upgrading it. That's why they've got to move the games to the lakefront where the practice facility is already.
They destroyed the stadium. Yes, okay. And now they're building a new one, which is going to be 33,000. It'll be very intimate.
Yeah. Well, I guess the Darren Revelle alumni checks are still coming in, so it's good to, good to know that.
Yes.
All right. Collect.com, CLLCT.com for all your collectibles news. Darren, good to touch base with you again, and be well.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's end on this. I love the TikTok channel and or YouTube channel called Cartnarks. And I've talked about this before. It's a guy who goes around and, nags people for not returning their shopping carts at whatever store he may camp out at to their proper corrals. And this is a great divide with a lot of people, or some people at least, who say, you know what? I'm not going to return my shopping cart. It's going to be here in the parking lot. You can navigate around it or park nearby and then go grab the cart sitting in the lot yourself and then push it into the store. Others are saying this is complete, unacceptable, narcissistic bullshit, that you have to have the basic decency to return the cart to the cart corral. Now, there are some days in which the grocery store or the shopping store center doesn't have enough paid people to bring the carts in with the giant ropes and the chains that stitch them all together, and they're pushing real hard. Sometimes they've got a motorized sort of tugboat to help push them in. I was at the grocery store yesterday, and the cart bin going in was almost empty except for two carts. And I looked out at the cart corrals in the parking lot, and I'm like, oh shit. And nobody's here today. So I have sympathy for the stores in that regard. But this woman, it's a pretty-looking suburban mom, piercing green eyes, decided she had to go to TikTok. She wanted all the smoke, as they say.
I'm not returning my shopping cart, and you can judge me all you want. I'm not getting my groceries into my car, getting my children into the car, and then leaving them in the car to go return the cart. So if you're going to give me a dirty look, fuck off.
I don't, like a lot of things, I wonder if it's a work. This woman is apparently Dr. Leslie Dobson, 151,000 followers. So she's got some significant followers. I don't know what she's a doctor in. Let me click her link right here. 20 years in the assessment and treatment of mental health disorders in individual and group therapy and criminal and civil law. Oh, well, of course. Good-looking woman. Crazy, though. And boy, is she getting roasted in the story. People saying shopping cart return stations are all over the parking lot, so never really more than 20 seconds away, and you still can't be bothered? Another commenter said, I'm a single disabled mom. I have a placard and thus park in the handicapped spots. I rely on the cart to help me walk, and yet I still walk to the cart corral and hobble back to my car. Another one said, the shopping cart is the ultimate litmus test for whether a person is capable of self-governing. To return the shopping cart is an easy, convenient task. Another one said, I'm a mom of a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 9-month-old baby. I simply unload the groceries, return the cart with the kids, and then load them in. The same way that we got out of the car. Simple. Others are pointing out, hey, maybe you ought to order your groceries online and pay for the surcharge. I've left my kids in the car at times where even I have said, should I bring them in or not? I think they'll be okay. Once upon a time in society, it was never a big concern. You didn't live in fear of, oh my God, what if somebody comes to snatch up my kids? The actual statistical data tracking of child abductions has been flat or even down in the last 30 years, but the specter and the fear of it, the bogeyman, has risen exponentially. We're more fearful than ever, even though the real incidents of it are less. But yeah, this doctor, well, she's done what she wanted. She went viral. She got me to mention her name on my podcast and many others. And I guess she doesn't care about all the smoke. And as long as she is self-employed or owns her own practice, she doesn't have to worry about getting canceled over a shopping cart or people saying, how can this person advocate for my mental wellness when she won't even return her own shopping cart? You monster. In the meantime, if you've not checked out Cartnarks, check it out. It's pretty funny. The lengths that some people will go to avoid bringing their cart back, even when confronted by a lunatic with magnetic Cartnark shame stickers, is incredible. That is a wrap for me today. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Spread the word. Rate and review if you can, if you got a moment. It helps tickle the algorithm and proves to other people, hey, look at all these reviews. Hey, look at the 5 stars. Hey, this is probably something worth listening to in a sea of mediocre to shitty audio quality and people who are not professionally trained broadcasters who say like and over and over and over again. And I know because I listen to some of those podcasts and it makes me cringe. Thanks for your support. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Like rain on a Sunday day, like $1 million that you're giving away, like a stray dog on the freeway, we'll fly. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, Guess who your customer service rep is? That's right, me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.